Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and hello. This is Joseph G. with Rum Radio and rumradio.org, the most comprehensive 12-step sponsorship in the known and the unknown universe, which is either expanding or contracting depending on what neighborhood you're viewing it from. I would like to acknowledge WNAH, Hoyt Carter, and Tony the Horse, who affords us the opportunity to broadcast live to their listening audience in Nashville, parts of Kentucky and Alabama, as a public service presentation. We would also like to acknowledge RecoveryToday.net magazine. It's one of the finer recovery journals, and they afford us some print space from time to time. I'd gratefully like to introduce my co-host, Harold B., a family intervention specialist. He does a fine work with troubled families, and I believe personally that the family is the basic unit of our society, and as the family goes, so does the country. Harold?
Hi, everybody. Hi, Joseph. Thank you for that introduction, and it's really a pleasure to be part of this public service work. Years ago, Joseph created a website dedicated to working with other people, which is intensive work with another alcoholic works when it works to keep us sober when nothing else will. So that's been a key for me. And so I work with families, and what we're trying to do is get back to basics and do things the way they were done in 1935, which was great, and it worked really well. Recently, it seems like families have been ignored and their needs aren't met, and that working with others is even declining, it seems like. So we want to put energy there. And so we've been on a weekly basis creating some excitement around and enthusiasm around working with others, and how to find a sponsor, how to find a sponsee, what to do with a sponsee once we've found one, how to go through the steps with me, what not to do. And I really admire Joseph. He doesn't make a dime off the website. In fact, he sinks thousands into it, and it's really working well. And so I just encourage that and appreciate him for the money he spent and the time and energy that he's put into it. And so there we go. I'll turn it back over to you, Joseph. It was like an interesting evening.
Well, thank you, Harold. That's very humbling for you to say that. Well, that's enough about me. Would someone else like to talk about me? We also have a special guest interview tonight, Giuseppe G. Can I use your last name, Giuseppe, or you prefer just the G?
No, my last name is fine.
It's Gansey, which has a familiar ring to it.
Famous, yeah.
We happen to run into each other on Facebook, and having the same name, I thought it was really kind of interesting, and I was looking at his work, and it was kind of exciting, and I thought he'd make a really great interview tonight for the show. But before we get into that, Giuseppe, I want to do a little housekeeping, and the rest of the housekeeping is, I like to say the third step prayer. It's sort of like inviting in the spirit to the work that we do, and I believe this is a good work, and this has the ability to help people, encourage people, make things known to people that are benefit to them. And the way I usually work the third step prayer and how I use that, I also call it the surrender prayer. When I have a new sponsee, and that's usually someone who's just got their beginner's chip, and that's a little aluminum-colored disc in most places, and it has to thy known self be true. And it also is what they call a desire chip, that you have a desire to try our way of life in 24 hours. The guy's hot. He's made that decision. Basically, when he's gone up and gave it his name, and if he said that he was an alcoholic or an addict, he's done, step one, right there. And he's hot. And I usually grab him as soon as I can. I even circle up with him. First thing I ask him is, have you had enough? And if he's an alcoholic like I was an alcoholic or am an alcoholic, he'll say, yes, I've had enough. And I said, are you willing to go to any length to achieve sobriety? Important question. If he's in enough pain, he'll agree to anything. Yes, I'm willing to go to any length. He's not just telling me, he's making an affirmation to himself. Then I tell him, you know, you can get well from this disease of mind, body, and spirit, but there's certain things you have to do. And the first thing I have him do is I carry around Clancy's 7 questions. It's on the website under the How to Find a Sponsee tab. It's a little mini 4-step, just 7 questions. I hand it to him. I'm prepared. You know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. I give him the Clancy's 7 questions. I said, okay, I need you to answer. The first thing I need you to do is answer these 7 questions, and I need them back tomorrow. Not the day after tomorrow, not next week, the dog didn't eat your homework. I need him back tomorrow. Here's my number. Expect your call. One of two things happen. I'll get the call. He's taking a simple instruction, and we get right into working the steps. Or I don't get him back. I don't see him. I don't get him back. If I do see him in a meeting, he'll walk around me, and that's okay. Two things happen. He's either not ready or he's not ready for me, which is okay. If I do get him back, one of the first assignments I give him is on page 63 of the basic text of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I believe is the template for all 12-step recovery. Everything is taken from this area. And the third step prayer, I call it the surrender prayer. I ask him to get a newcomer's packet or a list of men from their home group, to get a home group, because that's their family, that they're going to their lifeline family, and they get the names of men with men, women with women, when possible. The key is to work the steps. Gender proper works to seem to be more efficient. We can relate better that way. And to call one of these men up every day for the next 30 days and ask permission to recite the third step prayer. Find it's very productive, and the one reason I do it, I always give them the reason why, it's get them used to picking up the 500-pound telephone and asking for help. 2, it encapsulates what we're going to try to accomplish by working all 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. 3, it connects them up with their fellowship. They get to know people's names, and the home group gets to know his name, so they're part of instead of apart from. And 3, the person he's calling might have been thinking about breaking up his first drink of alcohol for the day, and the chances are he will not, but there's no guarantee, so your sponsee's already into service work. And the prayer goes like this. It's found on page 63. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Thank you. So, Giuseppe, tell us, you came in, you're from up north. I think they call it a snowback.
I'm from New Westminster, B.C., which is a 20-minute drive from Vancouver, B.C.
And you got there now. You've been in the program. You're recovering. You're in recovery. And tell us, how did you end up there? Was this something you were going to the prom and you decided, hey, you know what? I think I need to go into a recovery meeting and see what that's all about. How did you get there? How did you get there from here?
Well, number one, I never went to the prom because I was way too drunk to even consider going to the prom. But I did go to the prom party, and let's just say it was not a very good party. It was I feel bad for the maid that had to clean up that hotel room. I originally grew up in Ontario, B.C., and lived there my whole life, and at about 30 years old, shit hit the fan, I guess you can say, and I decided to leave Ontario because there was something really wrong with that province, and there was a lot of problems there, and the province wasn't treating me the way I wanted to be treated, so I looked at a map and said, Toronto's too cold, Montreal's too cold, So for some strange reason, I picked Vancouver, never been here, never lived here, don't know anyone in Vancouver, and I thought that would be a perfect place to go to, and I moved to Vancouver, thinking life would be great, but problems just continued, and eventually I got 12-stepped by somebody. I was in my mid-30s, and well, I remember when she told me that you might need to go to a 12-step meeting. I just was utterly shocked and upset with her and didn't really understand why somebody would tell me that. And that was my journey, and that was my process. And then somebody picked me up and took me to a meeting, and they told me, you know, if you don't read the literature and you don't do the steps and if you don't do a program of recovery, you'll end up losing the place, losing the job, losing everything. And I didn't believe them, and that's exactly what needed to happen for me. And eventually I ended up in a detox center, ended up in treatment, and I got clean. And I'm glad I got clean. And, you know, I had some bumps along the journey, and I'm just grateful I'll be taking my 2 years in about 2 weeks. Yeah, in 2 weeks I'll be taking my 2 years clean. So I had some clean time.
Ah, good. So,
but unfortunately I had relapsed, and now I'm going to be taking some more clean time, so I'm excited.
Oh, good. So it turned out Ontario wasn't the problem, although I've heard stories about Ontario.
Ontario, there's nothing wrong with Ontario. It's a pretty good place, actually. Yeah, I visit my mom now, you know, at least twice a year, now that I work in the treatment industry and so forth, I went and visited the treatment center that's in my hometown in Ontario, and it's so funny, I had no idea it was a treatment center. I mean, I knew now, but back then, in my teens and in my 20s, I remember picking up friends from this massive building, and I had no idea that I was picking my friends up that were leaving treatment and, you know, relapsing. I didn't know, and so I look back now, and it's pretty amazing that that place existed there. And, you know, so I could have got clean and sober anywhere, but I decided to take the long road.
So when you were thinking of a warmer place, so Miami didn't cross your mind at all, then, I take it. When you first
I wanted to travel, but for some reason I didn't decide to go to the States.
When you first realized that, okay, now we have a problem, when was the first time, looking back now, that you were enamored, or you first got the first ease and comfort of that first drink? Do you remember how old you were?
Oh, I started going to bars when I was 14. People went to, you know, the movies, and people went to the malls, and people went to, you know, amusement parks in their teens. I went to bars in Detroit, Michigan, and I just had a crazy time from the age of like 14 to about 18. And I thought anybody that went to a library or an amusement park was just an idiot. So, I mean, I the first time I walked into a nightclub, I was like, this is where I want to live for the rest of my life. And I did that for a long time. So, yeah, definitely in just the circumstances of my life, I was able to survive and not get killed and not overdose. And, you know, I was doing some pretty dangerous things, and I don't know how I came out of it unscathed. And, you know, I do believe alcoholics and addicts are very strong people and very creative and very energized, and we have lots of talents, and unfortunately sometimes we just mix the world up and we get confused and we make some bad choices. And I strongly believe the only reasons why we make the bad choices is because we really like to get high or we really like to drink, and then we just get messed up and we make bad choices. But I knew every time I picked up a drink or I picked up drugs, I wanted to and I liked the feeling. And, you know, I didn't make the bad choices until after, because I was so high and so drunk, I just made stupid choices. I mean, in my mind, it was a really smart choice to pick up drugs and alcohol. But then there was nothing stupid about it back then.
The, now you said that, you, okay, finally, so that came in and that brought you to your first, was there a particular incident? Did you have a, we call it a jumping off point?
Oh, no, I just, you know, I had recovery in my workplace, and it's the only way I found recovery, and, because I was never in the same spot long enough for anyone to ever get attached to me long enough to, or to be able to say, hey, we think you got a problem, you should get help. I just, you know, was moving so fast in life, and, you know, this time I finally had settled down for about 4 years with this job, and because there was recovery in the workplace. I mean, she broke her anonymity when she told me about, you know, getting help and so forth. And if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have found recovery at that time in my life. And then eventually, yeah, I ended up, you know, being homeless and having no money. And yet I was making lots of money. And I didn't even have enough money to take the bus. And obviously, you know, the denial was just, you know, squashed by reality. It's like you cash checks and you have no money. You treat ATMs like slot machines. And, you know, it's just all, you know, I denied my problem for so long. And then eventually, you know, I woke up one day and it's like, I don't have a place to sleep in tonight. And I still want more. So maybe what these people are saying is right. And I was so angry in the first couple of years of going to 12-step meetings. I mean, I wasn't very nice. I was really nice to people, but I wasn't glad I was in any 12-step fellowship. And I really just wanted to do a set of steps to help me control my using. And I didn't tell people that, but that's what I wanted to do. And I did that for a really long time. And then eventually I started to use while I was telling people I was clean. And you know, it was just an absolute disaster, and, you know, I'm surprised that I made it through that as well, just like my early years, and, you know, now I didn't want to come back, I didn't want to do recovery, but the reality is I did have some good days in recovery, and I did have some spiritual experiences in recovery, and I had a spiritual awakening a few of those days in recovery before I had started to use again, and I thought, you know what, maybe I could get those back, and I just got tired of going to detox centers. I knew I was talented. I knew I was smart. I knew I was value. I knew that I could live a better life. So I just decided to surrender and, you know, redo the steps and rebuild a support group and get new friends, and I'm really grateful. I live in a community here in New West that is amazing with recovery, and they welcome you back, and the meetings are absolutely huge. They call New Westminster the recovery capital of Canada. You go to a meeting here and there's like 300 people in it, and when there's a cake. And, you know, I got swooped away by that energy again, and I decided,
oh, wow,
this is what I want to do. And the reality is I could go live in a shelter and use for the rest of my life, and some part of my brain says, you know, what's so bad about that? But I'm fortunate enough that there's enough people in this community that care for me that say you don't deserve that. And I believe them, and now I decided to stay clean. And the good thing is I get to do service again. I get to be part of this recovery community again. And now I know, like, I got a slap in the face with humility lessons, because I really thought I knew it all, and when I knew it all and I thought I knew it all, I was the guy taking the dirty cake, and I was the guy, you know, doing dirty service, and I was the guy stealing. And now that the gig's up and everybody knows, it's like, okay, well, you know, everybody already knows that game, so I'm just not going to play it anymore. And, you know, now I get to actually calm down, and I can see myself when I get a little revved up and energetic. And I got people around me that slow me down and say, hey, you know what, you did this already, do you want to do it again? Because you know where you're going to end up. And I just throw my hands up and say, you know what, you're right. I need to chill out, calm down, and get back to the basics and do my commitments. And that's to sponsor people, go to meetings, hang out with my sponsee, and when I can, provide value to other people. And, you know, sometimes it's tough, but I do it.
The I was with a sponsor yesterday, as a matter of fact, and he was in his cups. He's a chronic relapser, and he lives in my neighborhood, and I'm driving around, and he wanted me to drive him because he didn't want his wife to see him, but she already knew what was going on. And he puts his head down, and he says, you know, I want to die. And I says, you know, kiddo, that's all about your ego. Your ego is telling you that you're at the jumping off point. And so we had a word of prayer. I saw him today, and he said, no. He says, since he asked for God to relieve the craving, he hasn't had the craving yet. But he had never tried that before, so we're hopeful. So tell me now, you have, how many years did you have prior to going out the A couple of years?
I a little shy of 2 years, and then I took a dirty 2-year cake.
Now
so it's going to be my first 2-year cake clean.
Clean. Were you embarrassed to tell him? Was that it? Yeah.
I was. I was angry. I wasn't embarrassed. I was angry. And you know, but then I just thought, you know, like you said earlier, so self-centered. Like no one's gonna forgive me, and you know, how could I have done this? And the reality is, I've been relapsing my whole life. I've always said I'll never do that again, and I always did it again, and I always said I'm not going to get, you know, when I was early, like younger, I never said I don't want to get that messed up again. I mean, my goal was to get messed up, and it wasn't until my mid-30s, you know, when I finally said, you know what, I probably shouldn't do so much dope or drink so much. I'm not going to do that tonight, and I kept on doing it, and there was years of me saying I'll never do that again, and I did it again. And you know, then I got into that crazy habit where I would only take $20 to $40 out of my bank account at a time, and then I would say I won't take any more, and then I convinced myself and then take it out again. And you know, it turned into this bizarre psychosis habit where it just became the norm, where you know, I would you know, withdraw money every hour, and that's why I said ATM slot machine. And it totally made sense to me, and then eventually I'd end up with zero, and I would do it all over again the next payday, and, you know, cash checks at, you know, all those yellow banks and all that kind of jazz. And, you know, so I definitely know what relapse is about, but, you know, this community here in New Westminster and the treatment center I went to last door, it really taught me, you know, that recovery is a stronger story to talk about than my relapse, because relapse is, yeah, that's normal. Yeah, okay, you know, I've been doing it for years. It's like I want to learn how to do recovery today, and you know, I've had enough good days in recovery that those are the days that keep me clean. Those are the days that I wake up and say, you know what, I kind of feel like using today, but my days in recovery are pretty good. I don't want to lose those, and it keeps me going. You know, I had dinner with a bunch of friends today and did a recovery film festival the last couple of days, and there's just so much going on in life, you know, in recovery, that the only thing that was going on when I was loaded is, yeah, I had lots of things going on, but nothing really mattered because I always wanted everything to get done with so I could go do my dope. So I had a lot of fancy dinners when I wasn't in recovery, but I always wanted them to end at a certain time because I had dope waiting at the end. And I went to a lot of shows, and I had a lot of friends, and I went to a lot of fancy activities with nice clothes, but they always had to end just in time so I can go get my dope. And doing these events in recovery is different. It's like, you know, just hang out to the end and wait and hang out with my friends and show up early. And it's just a different way of doing things. So a lot of people get trapped in the idea where, you know, if you get clean, life sort of gets boring, and the reality is it doesn't. And it gets better because the events and the things that you get to do, you get to throw a word like gratitude in the mix, and it just completely change. I never thought about gratitude when I used to eat in restaurants. I just thought about getting laid, tipping the waiter, and leaving. You know, now I think about enjoying it and having it with friends and being grateful for the opportunity, and it just changes the entire dynamics of activity. So I'm really happy for that.
You know, I like to say that an attitude of gratitude is a prayer unto God.
Yeah.
So you found to be of maximum service. The thing that's working for you now that didn't work the last time was your attitude, one on gratitude, and the other would be what? Being of maximum service?
Well, being of maximum service with humility, that's for sure. I mean, I've always been one to help people out, but I always had, you know, I wasn't working a full set of steps, so I didn't have a good step 6 and 7 in my life. So greed, self-righteousness, you know, contempt, and lots of other character defects would all jump into the mix where, you know, even if I was putting chairs away in a meeting or setting up a dance, I had a really bad attitude while I was doing it. So it wasn't healthy for anybody involved. So I really need to check my motives, and I really need to check where my character defects are, and why am I doing something, and what's the goal, and is it, you know, to help people, or is it to boost my ego? And I get lost in that sometimes. So, you know, putting people in my life that know me and I can talk to and can call me on my bad behaviors, I end up being able to do service without toxicity. I mean, I used to be a chairperson for a committee and so forth. I've done service, and now I'm doing service in a different way where I try to do detox panels. I never had sponsees before, and now I have sponsees. You know, and working where I work, and what we'll talk about in a bit, you know, doing, you know, other exciting events and projects, you know, I really need to take a look at self-care and where my program is at and all my affairs.
So it seems your life is centered around the last door center, and the director of community.
I'm the director of community development at Last Door Recovery Center. It's in New Westminster. It's a nonprofit treatment center for young males and adult males. It's a 100-bed facility. We have a youth program for 14 to 18-year-olds and an adult program for 19 and older. And in there's guys from 13 to 70 years old, from one day clean to who knows how many days clean. And we do long-term treatment. And I came here for treatment. And then about 4 years ago, it was their 25th anniversary. And, you know, I thought I'd help them out with their anniversary celebrations and do some brand identity for them. And next thing you know, I ended up getting a contract and working here, and I've been working here ever since, and it's been a blessing. I mean, compared to the stuff that I used to do for work, you know, when I tell some of my old friends back in Ontario that I work at a treatment center, they just like, what? It doesn't even make sense to them, and to me, it makes total sense. And I've been here basically promoting long-term abstinence based treatment. We're also nicotine-free, so, you know, a big project that we work on when we do our marketing is telling people that addicts and alcoholics can quit smoking while they're in treatment, and it is possible, and we have 100 clients here, and everybody quits smoking, and none of the staff smokes, and also the belief that long-term treatment's needed for, you know, not everybody, but for a lot of people, long-term treatment is needed, and short-term treatment may be good for some people, but our experience and our outcomes shows that long-term treatment works best, especially when you're dealing with people like me that are high-functioning users. Like, I was very high-functioning when I was drinking and using. So you put me in a treatment center for 28 days or 45 days, and I'll be your stellar client. I will be, you know, the best person there, and everybody will love me, and because I'm high-functioning, I can do anything, and then, you know, the reality is like we need to work on behaviors that take a lot longer than 45 days sometimes to come out. And that's what Last Door does. And it's also given me the opportunity to, you know, be creative. And because we do a lot of workshops and conferences across Canada, and we also do workshops in the United States, I was doing some traveling, and I do about 30 trips a year. And all of a sudden, there was a need for a way to communicate with people in different communities that are in recovery. Because right now there really isn't a way, unless you go to a meeting, but sometimes you can't find that meeting or the meeting's been moved. And also with the world of technology today, there's so many services that one can tap into to help. So Last Door supported me in creating a new iPhone recovery app called Unity. And basically what Unity does is it connects people to other people in recovery around the world. And we launched the app about 2 weeks ago. here in Vancouver at Vancouver's Recovery Day. And it's now starting to get downloaded. We've got people downloading it all over the U.S. And we've had people download it in China already. And we've only been live for about 2.5-3 weeks. And our goal is to reach lots of users across the planet. And the website for Unity is www.unityapp.net. And the website for Last Door is www.lastdoor.org.
Can I get that Unity app at the Last Door, or do I have to go to the unityapp.net?
Yeah, unityapp.net. We're going to put a hyperlink on our homepage. They're two separate entities. Like, the app's not a Last Door app. Last Door supports the app, and but Unity app is an app all on its own. So it's not a Last Door app. So our goal is to get treatment centers across the world as well to build their own groups on the app so they can communicate with their alumni and so forth. And it also geolocates different alumni to different areas. So it's going to be a great support tool, because the truth is a lot of people go to treatment now to get well, and you know they don't go to treatment in their home community, and so when they go back to their home community and they need to find like-minded people in NA or CA or CMA or AA or GA or whatever the A is that they're using for recovery, they can actually geolocate those users in their home community. Rather than, and some people I've talked to, I've done some research and development, they say they'd find that a lot easier to build a relationship online first and then meet people in certain meetings, especially when they're brand new and they just got out of treatment. Because some people that go to treatment don't even go to meetings. They just get locked up and do in-house meetings, but they've never really been to an outside meeting. Here at Last Door, we don't do in-house meetings. All our meetings are in the community because we believe NA and AA is separate than our treatment center. We're not AA and we're not NA. We are very 12-step based. We have our own set of 12-step exercises, but we encourage, well, not encourage, we make our clients go to two meetings a day every day. They usually do NA meetings here in the community because they're so big and they're so close, but if they need to go to GA or AA, they can go to GA and AA as well.
Oh, that's a great idea. I like that app idea. Connecting people up that way. That's great. So it's not really particularly a meeting online. It's just so you can connect to the individual or to the group that you...
Yeah. Well, another thing, is there's some other amazing recovery apps already out there, and I was using some of them. I've got them all on my phone, and I found something was bizarre is when you ask for help, you actually get a call center to like an EAP counseling service or something, or you get connected to a treatment center, or you get connected to a psychiatrist, or you get connected to some type of professional, which is great. But I also believe strongly in my heart, and in the Last Door we believe this as well, that the truth meaning behind Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous is people helping people, and the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. And so when you hit help on Unity, you don't get connected to any professionals. You get connected to other like-minded people in your community that want to help out. So you set up your profile saying, I'm willing to help people do 12-step calls. I'm willing to help people find a meeting. I'm willing to take somebody out for coffee. I'm willing to be a temporary sponsor. You set your profile to yes. You click, you know, somebody in your area is searching for help. They ask the app what they need help with, and then the app will say, this person's willing to take you out for coffee and be your temporary sponsor. And then you have a choice whether or not you actually want to take that call. And it puts people back into the equation. Because most people in recovery are already clean and sober if they have an iPhone app that's recovery-based. You know, I'm at 2 years clean. If I need to go find a meeting or I just need some help, I don't really want to talk to a counselor. I want to talk to another junkie. I want to talk to another alcoholic, somebody that's been through what I've been through, and I believe that. We'll have services out there for professionals as well. That will be built into the app soon, but it's not going to be the primary purpose of the app.
That's great. I like you know, the one immunity we have from alcohol or drugs is intensive work with another drug addict or alcoholic. This activity works when other activities fail. It's that face-to-face interaction only another drug addict or alcoholic you can talk to like no one else can talk to you.
Exactly.
They've had the empathy. Now, we have a lot of very, very knowledgeable professional people out there, psychiatrists, and not to take anything away from them,
exactly,
but they can have
yeah.
a tremendous amount of sympathy, but the empathy is not there. They haven't lived the life.
Well, I mean, I'm part of a treatment center, so I understand, you know, everyone in our treatment center is in recovery except for one person, and she does the admin work. Other than that, you know, our entire staff is in recovery, not just in recovery, they live recovery and do recovery, and they go to meetings. So I think the best way for us is to provide a service with Unity simply to make life simple. I just want to connect with somebody and have a chat. I just got out of treatment. I just want to have a quick observation of who in my area is in GA or AA or Naranon or Al-Anon, which is another thing, too. There's really not a lot of support for some of the smaller 12-step fellowships like Al-Anon, Naranon, Alateen, and CODA. So what this app does is it also has all the other 12-step fellowships as well as Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. So give them a voice as well on the App Store, and the Android version will be coming out pretty soon, too.
And this is the Unity app?
This is the Unity app, yes.
That's what a great idea, especially the smaller fellowships are kind sometimes left in the lurch a little bit. You know, meetings are hard to find, and very like-minded people are not available to you. That's a great idea.
Well, we put Nicotine Anonymous on there simply as, our program's no smoking, but, you go to meetings, I go to lots of meetings, there's a lot of people in recovery that smoke. So hopefully maybe they'll pick up Nicotine Anonymous and just have that conversation. I've got, you know, friends that do SA, but really don't tell anyone that they're in SA. And, you know, wanting, because this app is also, you can practice anonymity on there. You have a username instead of your real name. You can become part of the SA community that's on the Unity app. So you get to practice anonymity in social media. I love Facebook. I mean, I am very busy on Facebook. I'm on Facebook every day, but sometimes you have that question about anonymity that goes in the back of your mind. So with Unity, we help address those issues where some people, because of what they do for a living, their job, they just can't, you know, tell people that they're in recovery. So Unity is a way for them to talk recovery in a social media platform, which they couldn't do while they're on Facebook. Another thing with Unity app that you could do, too, is you can create your own step group. You can create your own support group. You can create your own group, and you can send group chats to each other. So if I've got five people in my step group and we're going out for pizzas tonight, I can send them all just one chat. And I don't have to text everybody and you know, just say, hey, you know, I'm going to be late for pizza, or let's do text tonight, or whatever you want to talk about. And it makes it really easy for you to communicate with your support group.
What a great idea. I applaud that tremendously. I think it's a great idea. One of the problems with the alcoholic and the addict is boredom. I tell people, if you're bored, you're boring. But sometimes not having something to do can be very deleterious to a person, especially new in recovery.
Well, I'm glad that you say you need things to do, because that's one of the other features. We have an events geolocator for you. So what happens is I've already uploaded about 600 events into the map. And so say I land in Toronto, or I land in Miami or Paris or Rome or even Egypt, wherever I want to land, or that's where I'm from. And, you know, you can find pretty much all the big conventions online. But say your home group's having a potluck dinner, or say there's a cake this weekend, or say your home group's having a a smaller event that really doesn't have a service position where the person's going to put it on the internet and have a web page for it. Unity app will you can easily upload any event, and it geolocates, so I can find all the recovery events in AA, CA, GA, CMA, and it'll actually map all the events closest to me and tell me how to get there, so I can see if there's a a small speaker meeting going on at my home group on Friday, or at somebody else's home group.
I love it.
Yeah.
Was this your baby?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's from when I was traveling around. I was practically thinking, what would be beneficial for me to use right now? And you know, we were going to one city, and there'd be, you know, we'd go to the meeting, and you know, everybody would be like, oh, you know, there was this thing last night, or like this dance, and I was like, I didn't know about it. It's because nobody on the committee was, you know, swabby enough to have, it's called Google Organics and search engine optimization. I mean, you need to really know what to do on the internet to get your event to show up on Google. Yes, AA's got a pretty good website, but sometimes not all events get posted on AA's website. So I thought this is even one step better. It actually geolocates the events to you. So you just hit tap all the events around me and they just show up. And also, too, when I was going traveling, you know, is there...
That'll work here in Houston?
Pardon? Oh, yeah, if you were to download the app right now, there's
will
events
this work in Houston?
On there. I mean, the goal, too, is to get members of 12-Step Fellowships to put their cakes up as well, their clean time celebrations, because I was in Toronto just a little while ago, and, you know, you go to a meeting, and if there's another meeting that's got a cake, maybe I might want to go to somebody's celebration and enjoy their clean time and so forth. So it just gets people in the... Because on Facebook, unless you get invited to a recovery event, you don't know about it. So this doesn't have a guest list. This just posts all the recovery events. So,
no.
I mean, I do recovery events myself for Last Door. I can't invite everybody in recovery because I don't know everybody in recovery in Vancouver. So this changes that dynamic where everybody will know what the event is because they don't need to get invited to it.
I love it. Well, you know, this might prompt me to get a smartphone.
You don't have a smartphone.
I don't have a smartphone. I still have...
This interview is over.
I know. You know, I'm older than you, though. It's just like old dog, new tricks kind of deal.
Oh,
but I think this will turn the key for me. Well, you know, the smartphone is like, you know, $2,600. They give you the phone for free, and then it's $2,600 to pay for the rental.
Well, you know, we're just getting ready for the next generation. I mean, I went to a social media therapies workshop just a couple of days ago for Last Door, and you know, we're talking about social media and its direction and what it means in the therapy hour and so forth. And I went for the marketing side of it, and one of my colleagues, Vincent, went for the counseling side of it, and together we'll come up with our own ideas of what the future of Last Door is. And obviously the app is already a step forward from the conversations we had at this social media workshop. But the reality is, you know, the 13, 14, 15-year-olds, the next generation of newcomers, they interact on the phone. Like, you know, the idea of having conversations is more foreign than the idea of texting somebody, tapping on the phone, finding the information, and then building the relationship afterwards. So with the hope, Unity will make that transition, you know, will help the newcomers in the future, you know, become a part of this program because, you know, that's just the way they're learning to communicate, and it's just fact. It's, you know, a lot of conversations there was, you know, that social media is damaging, you know, the youth, and the reality is youth just want to be heard. And youth just want an avenue to speak with, and social media is that tool. So, you know, hopefully Unity will be the tool that they can use for when they want to talk recovery and express themselves with recovery.
That's very astute of you. Yeah, they want to be heard. So the younger folks want to be made themselves known, and this is way to do it. I applaud that. That's a great marketing idea, especially for recovery. That's just tremendous.
You know, and it's really funny because I see the irony in the whole thing. Last Door's been around for almost 30 years now. You know, our executive director, David Pavlis, the founder, has been here since day one. He founded the organization
right.
and grew it from just a 10-bed, you know, house into you know, a very successful treatment center. And it's never really changed its ways. It's been the same. The new guy's the most important person in the facility. The steps will keep you clean. Give back, have gratitude, do service, and go to lots of meetings. And just do that every day. And, you know, the Vancouver area has thought of Last Door as this, you know, really tough boot camp treatment center. And it's not innovative, and it's old school. And I find it so ironic every time I hear that, because Last Door was the very first non-smoking treatment center in Canada, you know, doing long-term residential nicotine-free treatment before everybody thought it was cool and mandated by the government, which, you know, some people still offer cigarettes for their clients. And then, you know, so we're innovative in that sense. We also built our own electronic health record system, which we call the CRM. So all of our client information is all online, not online for to the public, but within our own server. And so we do all outcomes and screenings all electronically to really benefit the customer, the client, and the staff relationship. And now we've just launched this iPhone app. So everybody that thinks we're the old school, you know, treatment center, we kind of don't mind that reputation because it makes people know we're serious about recovery. But the reality is Last Door is one of the most innovative treatment centers in North America, not just BC. And I'm really proud of what we do here. I've met a lot of treatment centers. I think there's a lot of services out there that are awesome and a lot of great people doing a lot of great work. But I'm just going to say it, Last Door is one of the best places I've ever come to know that does addiction treatment. And obviously I work here, but I've met a lot of treatment centers. And for them to even give me the energy and strength to say, you know what, this app's a great idea, let's do this, it just shows that they really care about how, and the whole basis behind this app is to get people to help people. And it's not about, you know, hooking people up with the right psychiatrist. It's about getting people to help people, because you need people in your life to stay clean. You can have all the best professionals in the world, but they're only available for an hour a week, maybe. If you don't have good people around you 24/7, I mean, you're going to have some tough struggles in life. I mean, I know I did. You know, I know lots of people that got some great professional help, but the reality is when they're having coffee at Starbucks and they're thinking shady thoughts, you know, they're going to need somebody to talk to, and that person better be a friend. A friend in recovery, too.
Do you extend yourself to the family of the addict?
Oh, we've got a family program for sure. Another reason why that makes sense.
To family?
Innovative. We have two family suites that are available to all family members of our clients. And so what that means is we get a lot of clients from out of province and from the states and different cities. And so they can stay here for a week or they can stay here for a weekend, depending on their availability. And it's completely free of charge. It's included in the treatment of the client. And they can eat here and they do counseling, group counseling. They go to meetings with the clients. And so basically what happens with the family program, it gets the family involved in the treatment program while the client's in treatment. But if the client lives in the community and he's from here and his wife or his parents or his kids live 20 minutes away, then they can come visit every day. There's no visiting hours. There's no visiting schedule. It's just don't visit while your son or husband's in group because he's in group for hours, but come in the afternoon, come for lunch, come for dinner. It's a total open-door policy. You'll see kids running around here all the time. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it doesn't make much practical sense to have somebody in treatment for 3, 4, or 5 months. You're only allowed to see your son on Thursday. I mean, that's horrible. It's, you know, you can see your son whenever you can see your son and make your son part of your treatment program, because when you're done treatment, you better know how to have a relationship with your son. And the other thing, too, is while somebody's in treatment, say there's problems still at home and say the wife is having some problems at home, it gives us an opportunity to get her help. It gives us an opportunity to get some healing in the family and have the home safe to return to, so you don't spend 3 or 4 or 5 months in treatment and you go back home to, you know, more alcoholism taking place or whatever else goes on sometimes in people's homes. So we get the client in their best position possible for the return home. So family is very important. We call it a mandatory suggestion. Your family has to get involved.
Do you have a work program involved?
No. No, what we do is we found most addicts and alcoholics are workaholics. So basically what we do is we do treatment, we do the 12 steps, we get you well, and then when it's if you don't have a job to go back to, then what we do is we provide long-term transitional living where you use outside services to do return to work and job programs and so forth. But to put a job program right into our facility and into our programming, it has a tendency to sometimes take away from what we actually do. When we get you clean, we help you learn about the 12 steps, we help you find your own personal recovery. And then, I mean, I myself have written a bunch of resumes for guys because I'm really good at resumes, but is it my job title? Am I the resume writer at Last Door? No, I'm not. And if I really need to do an in-depth, difficult resume, then I'll refer him to one of the resume services here in our community. But we believe by giving people the opportunity to use outside services, it motivates them to realize life doesn't get handed to you. You need to go get yourself a job. You need to go get yourself an employment counselor. You need to go get yourself a resume writer. But, I mean, our goal is, you know, get clean, get well, get happy, and then get to work. Don't get to work too fast because so many guys that leave too quickly to get to work end up getting that first paycheck, and they're high. You know?
What's the average stay? How long do folks stay there usually, on average?
Four or five months is the average stay. Minimum is 90 days. I mean, if you're not able to commit to 90 days, then we'll just refer you somewhere else. So minimum is 90 days. Average is 4 to 5 months. We've had some people stay here for 2-3 years. But when they're here for 2 years or a year and a half, they're already back to work, going to school, and doing what they need to do. So a lot of the guys that stay here really long term, they've been to like 20 different treatment centers, short term, you know, et cetera, and they always get to work, and then they get to the fights, and they get to gambling, and they end up relapsing. So what we do is we just help them stay clean for a long period of time and get like 5 or 6 paychecks under their belt and continue to go to meetings while they're getting back to work and so forth. And sometimes they'll do gradual return to work. Some of our youth usually stay here for a long time as well because a lot of the youth, unfortunately, some of the youth don't come from a very healthy family. And so instead of returning the youth back to the family where there could be trouble or putting the youth into assisted housing where there could be other people that are smoking marijuana or doing other drugs, et cetera, what we do is we just give apartments to our youth and they live here for like a year and a half until they're 18, finish high school, and get their own apartment because it's really hard for the youngsters to get their own apartments when they're 17, 16 years old. So we keep them in our facilities and, they have high standards to live by and they have great people around them that are in recovery and it carries them through. We've got a special program with the high school here. So they all go to the high school in the community and we've had tons of, we call them youth door youth kids, and they do a great time out there and they get well.
That's great. Harold, did you have any questions for Giuseppe? Well, we showed he was still on the air. Harold, you there? Your phone's there, I guess.
I'm still here. Yeah, hi.
Hi. Did you have any questions for Giuseppe?
Well, no, not that I can think of.
Awesome. Thanks, Harold.
I like the idea of getting together using texting. That seems to be working more and more. The young people in my life are doing it, and I'll catch on probably a year or two.
It's old dog and new tricks again. Is that where we're at, Harold?
Yeah, you know, Joseph, you and I,
and
with the radio broadcast and the internet and all the, if anything can go wrong, it certainly will. It's Murphy's Law multiplied by 10.
Well, we're older than Giuseppe. That's why we look at that, you know, we're horse and buggy kind of folks, you know. This is like space travel. Giuseppe, now your cost. Now you do a lot of fundraisers, and what do you do to keep the cost down, or are you fairly expensive?
Well, LASTR is a nonprofit organization. We have 15 licensed beds through our health authority. So we have 15 beds that are available for people within our own community, and those are funded by our licensing. And the rest of our beds are contracted to employers for employee workplace wellness programs. The families will pay for treatment. And because we're a nonprofit, our rates are pretty reasonable compared to most private treatment centers. And because people tend to stay here a long time, we try to make it affordable as well for the services that they receive. And we do a lot of fundraising. We do a lot of grant writing. We've got some great supporters, and we've got some great alumni that give back over the years. We've been around for 30 years, so we do really well at trying to get people to help the newcomers out, so we do some fundraisers. We have a fundraiser on November 30th. It's our Christmas party / recreational budget fundraiser, and that's at a comedy club called Laugh Lines here in New Westminster, B.C., and we sell out every year, and, you know, we usually do two clients will do a speaker meeting, and then we have a bunch of kids from our youth program that are very talented, and they usually put on a concert, and then we have comedians, and, you know, our chef here is amazing, and his father is an executive chef, so they put on an amazing spread, and, you know, you think that you're a movie star at this event where everybody's just, you know, having a great time, lots of food, the theater's beautiful, and we do a lot of recreational activities at LASTR, and it's kind of what we're known for. People know if you're going to go to LASTR, you're going to laugh yourself into recovery. You're not going to cry yourself into recovery. There's a lot of laughers here. People are constantly joking around here. You don't know who the staff is. Everybody looks, you know, the same, other than the guy that's just come out of detox, mind you. He needs a couple of potatoes, and then eventually, you know, he's going to be at par with everyone else. But it's one of those places where we don't have doctors and lab coats running the show.
And, his eyes are dilated, and he's walking to the side.
Yeah, exactly. We do one of these. So we have a huge recovery slow pitch tournament, one of the biggest in B.C. anyway. It is. And we do that, and we have a family picnic with hundreds of people. And you're right, you got to keep everybody having fun and keeping busy, because if it gets boring, why would you stay in recovery? I know I wouldn't.
No, that's a good point. A lot of people, I've heard even in the meetings, that if there wasn't any laughter, they wouldn't come back. And
exactly.
We laugh at our tragedy.
Yeah, there's a lot of laughter. So if any of your listeners are able to come to Canada or ever coming through Canada, and, you know, they end up in Vancouver, you know, take the SkyTrain or drive down Canada Way and head out to New Westminster, B.C. The NA meetings are absolutely amazing out here. You'll just be amazed. When people call themselves, you know, are there any visitors from out of town, and they say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm from so-and-so, sometimes they'll get asked to share, and I swear, 9 times out of 10, if that person is asked to share, they're just their mouth drops at the podium like, I've never seen meetings like this. This is absolutely amazing. They're like mini conventions 5 times a week here. It's beautiful. It's amazing. You'll have to come out one day.
I'd love to. It sounds like you're in, like, recovery paradise.
It is. It's definitely recovery paradise.
Well, that's a nice invitation for all of our 1,200 listeners, too.
Awesome.
Let's all go up.
Well, you got to remember, guys, this is the internet. So right now, somebody in Beijing might be listening to us. Canada, we're about to close out. So this is what I found in my own recovery, when I'm in the service of my fellow beings, am I not in the service of my God? And when I'm in that service and in that moment, am I not divorced from self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity? And in that moment and in that service, is that not when I make my conscious contact with my Creator, who lives from moment to moment, eternity to eternity, life everlasting? The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. So I found that being of service to my fellow being gives me something more than I've ever had before. I can't really put my finger on it, but it's a peace and serenity that I haven't been, otherwise I had not been able to dredge from this world. So thank you so much. Do you want to give a phone number for up there in Canada?
Our North American number is 1-888-525-9771. Website's www.lastdoor.org. And if you want to download Unity, just go to your app store and search for Unity app, all one word.
Would you say that all again? It usually takes at least two or three times. Just say it again.
1-888-525-9771. Our website is www.lastdoor.org, lastdoor.org. And if you want to download the app, go to your app store and search for Unity app, all one word, or go to unityapp.net.
Thank you, Giuseppe.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're doing a great work. I could tell that you're inspired by God to do this thing. There's no telling where you might be if you weren't doing this. And I think God had you in mind specifically to get this work done. So,
well, thank you.
Good job. Good job. I appreciate what you're doing for your fellow beings, because in the end, it's all about helping each other. Harold, you got any last comments?
Well, I agree 100%. I went to treatment in Canada for a 30-day, what do they call it, shake and bake? Anyway,
yeah.
It was really good for me.
Awesome.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Well, I'll end with this, rumradio.org. We're in 143 foreign countries, including Mississippi, 2,525 towns, cities, and villages, and we just went over 171,000 hits to the website since our inception date of September 10th, 2009. So if you want some good recovery information, it's a recovery site. There's no money being made, and we're anonymous to the 11 tradition, and as much as we can be on Facebook, but on the website, you'll find some really good information. All we ask you to do, use the tools laid at your feet, open your mouth, and pass it on. So remember, we'll see you on the radio, rumradio.org. Good night, guys.
Thank you.